Chapter 45. The Raphael spins down into Sol Draconi system. Contrary to the explanations received by Father Captain DeSoya and others who travel by Archangel craft, its drive mechanism is not a modification of the ancient Hawking drive that has defied the light-speed barrier since before the Hegira. Raphael's drive is largely a hoax. When it reaches near quantum velocities, it keys a signal on a medium once referred to as the void which binds. An energy source from elsewhere triggers a distant device that ruptures a subplane of that medium, tearing through the fabric of space and time itself. That rupture is instantly fatal to the human crew, who die in agony. Cells rupturing, bones being ground to powder, synapses misfiring, bowels releasing, organs liquefying. They are never to know the details. All memory of the final microseconds of horror and death are erased during cruciform reconstruction and resurrection. Now Raphael begins its braking trajectory towards Sol Draconi Septum. Its very real fusion drive slowing the ship under 200 gravities of strain. In their acceleration couches, resurrection creches, Father Captain DeSoya, Sergeant Gregorius, and Corporal Key lie dead, their shredded bodies being pulverized a second time because the ship automatically conserves energy by not initializing internal fields until resurrection is well underway. Besides the three dead humans on board, there is one other pair of eyes. Radamanth Nemes has opened the lid of her resurrection creche and now lies on the exposed couch, her compact body buffeted but not damaged by the terrible deceleration. As per standard programming, the life support in the general cabin is off. There is no oxygen. Atmospheric pressure is too low to allow a human to survive without a spacesuit. And the temperature is minus 30 degrees centigrade. Nemes is indifferent. In her crimson jumpsuit, she lies on the couch and watches the monitors, occasionally querying the ship and receiving a reply on a fiber thread data link. 6 hours later, before the internal fields switch on and the bodies begin to be repaired in their complex sarcophagi, even while the cabin is still in virtual vacuum, Nemes stands, shoulders 200 gravities with no expression, and walks to the conference cubby and the plotting table. She calls up a map of Sol Draconi Septum and quickly finds the former route of River Tethys. Ordering the ship to overlay its long-range visuals, she runs her fingers across the hollowed image of ice rills, sestrugi dunes, and glacial crevasses. The top of one building rises from the atmospheric glacier. Nemes double-checks the plot. It is within 30 kilometers of the buried river. After 11 hours of braking, Raphael swings into orbit around the gleaming white snowball of Sol Draconi Septum. The internal fields have long since switched on. The life support systems are fully functional. But Radamanth Nemes takes no more note of this than she had of the weight and vacuum. Before leaving the ship, she checks the resurrection creche monitors. She has more than 2 days before DeSoya and his troopers will begin to stir in their creches. Settling into the dropship, Nemes runs a fiber optic link from her wrist to the console, commands separation, and guides the ship across the terminator into atmosphere without consulting instruments or controls. 18 minutes later, the dropship sets down on the surface within 200 meters of the stubby, ice-limed tower. The sunlight is brilliant on the terraced glacier. but the sky is flat black. No stars are visible. Although the atmosphere here is negligible, the planet's massive thermal systems flowing from pole to pole drive incessant winds, accelerating ice crystals to 400 kilometers per hour. Ignoring the spacesuits and hazardous atmosphere suits hanging in the airlock, Radamanth Nemes cycles the doors open. Not waiting for the ladder to deploy, she jumps the 3 meters to the surface, landing upright in the 1.7G field. Ice needles strike her at flechette gun velocities. Nemes triggers an internal source that activates a biomorphic field within 0.8 millimeters of her body. To an outside observer, the compact woman with short black hair and flat black eyes suddenly becomes a reflective quicksilver sculpture in human form. The form jogs across the jagged ice at 30 clicks an hour, stops at the building, finds no entrance, and shatters a panel of plasteel with her fist. Stepping through the gash, she walks easily across glare ice to the top of an elevator shaft. She rips open the sagging doors. The elevators have long since dropped to the basement 80-some stories below. Radamanth Nemes steps into the open shaft and drops into it, plummeting 108.8 feet per second into the darkness. When she sees the light flashing past, she grabs a steel girder to stop herself. She has already reached her terminal velocity of more than 500 clicks per hour and decelerates to zero in less than 3/100ths of a second. Nemes strides from the elevator into the room, taking note of the furniture, the lanterns, the bookcases. The old man is in the kitchen. His head comes up when he hears the rapid footsteps. "Rawl?" he says. "Ania?" "Exactly," says Radamanth Nemes, inserting 2 fingers under the old priest's collarbone and lifting him off the ground. "Where is the girl Ania?" she asks softly. "Where are all of them?" Amazingly, the blind priest does not cry out in pain. His worn teeth are clenched and his blind eyes stare at the ceiling, but he says only, "I do not know." Nemes nods and drops the priest to the floor. Straddling his chest, she sets her forefinger to his eye and fires a seeker microfilament into his brain, the seeker probe finding its way to a precise region of his cerebral cortex. "Now, Father," she says, "let us try again. Where is the girl? Who is with her? Where are they?" The answers begin flowing through the microfilament as coded bursts of dying neural energy.